Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road, Minnesota's premier and only off-road podcast, brought to you by Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Welcome back to the Crossroad Off-Road podcast. Sorry it's been a while, but I've been busy with life stuff. But I want to share with you a couple stories, and so it's story time, and also it's going to be a little bit of a call to action, and it has to do with teaching the next generation, or maybe somebody just doesn't know what they're doing, how to properly do a few things, because I feel it's important. This came to light because I have a 16-year-old, and he's actually getting ready to go to a football game right now, so he's going to hear part of the story. But was at one of those football games when I parked in the wrong parking lot, and so I'm like, well, I'll just go during halftime and run from one parking lot and grab the truck and move it to the one that's right next to the field, because it was one of those games where very cold, and I thought, well, that way he doesn't have to walk as far in the cold to get back to the truck when we're done with this game. But anyhow, so he's 16, and I got him a car, and this is something I'm going to do with him, is teach him how to change a tire, and here's why. Like I said, parked in the wrong parking lot. And as I'm walking back to my pickup, I see a group of young fellas standing around a vehicle, and they're jacking it up. As I'm walking closer, I could tell that they had a flat tire, and I could also tell that they were doing it wrong. In the words of my brother, he loves to say, "You're doing that wrong." He says it all the time. But so these guys were jacking up this. It was a Ford Edge, and the passenger rear was flat. It looked like the vehicle had gotten sideswiped at one time, and that might have been why the tire is now flat for one reason or another. But where they were jacking it up from, first off, they were using a floor jack, not the little jack that kind of comes with the vehicle, and they were jacking it up from the, you'll never guess where, but it was the rear hitch. So they turned the vehicle into a giant teeter-totter. They were just starting when I got there, and the first thing I said, "Does anybody know what they're doing?" And one of the guys goes, "Yeah, he does." And it was one of the buddies who had all the tools. So they had the tool guy there, but they didn't have the most important thing, is the guy that knew what he was doing. So I said, "I'll jump in and help you guys out." So again, the hitch, to kind of help paint the picture for you guys, we were on a slight hill. The right rear would have been the downside of the hill. So imagine that you're jacking up from a midpoint in the rear, and the vehicle is just going to tip right towards where we're all going to be changing that tire. So I could see the problem right out of the gates that we were going to have either a lot of trouble getting this wheel off at the least amount of problem, or somebody was going to die. So that's why I jumped in. So I came to the conclusion pretty quick that it was a bunch of the varsity football players that were standing there too. So you have five guys, big fellas, varsity guys from the neighboring town, not where my kids go to school, so we were in an away game. They were just there to do their film and so on from the game the night before. Helping you paint the picture here in your mind, kind of what it all looked like. But so I'm there, the visiting guy, helping these guys change their tire. Anyhow, so they had a big teeter-totter on their hands with the wrong jack, the whole wrong idea. They were not going to get this done without a lot of trouble. So I jumped in and helped out. So first thing I said, "Well, whose vehicle is this?" And they said, "Well, this guy here." So I said, "Well, get the jack that belongs to this vehicle, and I'll show all of you guys where it needs to go. Because if I'd use the floor jack, I would have damaged the vehicle." So what happens is the floor jack is about a 4 or 5 inch round disc, basically, and it goes straight up. What they really need was about inch and a quarter, inch and a half, to have a space that goes in. And if you guys, I'm going to encourage you to do this yourself, go under your vehicle and see where the jack points are. There's a very specific jack points. If you get out your owner's manual, it'll say this is where you should jack this vehicle up from. And so in the jack that comes with the vehicle will slide right into that point. You know, if you have a big aftermarket vehicle, you might need to get a bottle jack for yourself, or you have to kind of test all this stuff out. But these guys had all the wrong stuff. So if I used the floor jack, it would have hit the pinch welds on the body where they kind of pinch weld the side of the body to the main part of the body on these unibody vehicles. I could see that. I said, "Get the jack that belongs to this vehicle." We slid it into this little kind of little slot. jacked it up. I kind of explained to the guys, this is where it goes. And even to the guy who had all the tools, I said, this is where this goes. You got to use this jack. You're going to turn the vehicle into teeter-totter if we use his technique. He was just trying to help his buddy out, I know, but I'm glad I was there to kind of help out. So we jacked the vehicle up. I explained, you know, one good thing that this guy did do is he did loosen the lug nuts up before you jack it up. That's something you do. This was probably a front wheel drive Ford Edge because the back one wheels felt like they were freewheeling. And so he did loosen the lug nuts up before we got lift the vehicle up. That's important to do because otherwise you're just going to spin the wheel around. It's going to be really annoying. So then we were able to jack the vehicle up. While I was pulling out a lot off and the wheel off and getting the lug nuts out, I pulled that out. And I did make the joke to these guys. I said, the best time to learn how to do this is when it's warm. Because it was a very cold day few weeks ago. It was one of those days that was real cold. It got warm again after. I said, the best time to learn this is when it's real warm. And I had all my gear on there in shorts and flip-flops, basically. They thought they were going to leave a meeting and go home. And here I am, my full winter hunting gear, basically. I'm laying under the vehicle, had bibs on, had the nice boots on, 800 gram boots, you know, because I want to be warm at this football game. I didn't want to be shivering. Had a big old ski jacket on, whole nine yards. So I was ready to lay down and lay underneath the vehicle. I had no qualms about that. But these guys didn't. That makes another note here, extra clothes. I got my notes here to make sure I talk today about a few things. Extra clothes. Anyhow, so I got underneath the vehicle, got everything done, showed these guys where the jack point was on this corner, and I suggested to them that they get together and figure out where the jack points are in their vehicles. But we got the new tire back on, we torqued it down a little bit, and I kind of made the joke about, hey, get your torque wrench out. He goes, what's it need to go to? What's it need to torque to? I'm like, Google it, because I'm not going to do that, but you're most likely going to take this tire to a tire shop right now, because you don't want to have the donut on there, because it was one of those vehicles that had the donut. I go, your buddies will tease you if you still have this donut on here on Monday, so you better go to the tire shop right now and drop this other tire off and get it fixed. So I kind of helped make a joke, and kind of classic dad joke style. But again, I think the most important, you know, lesson I learned out of this is teach your kid how to change a tire, or teach yourself. You know, some people just who might be listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you guys have changed a tire before, but maybe your kid hasn't, or maybe your loved one hasn't, or the neighbor kid, or the neighbor person. It can save a life, I think, because I was telling a story to one of my clients during my day job, and she's just like, oh my god. And as soon as I said they're gonna jack it up from the hit, she's like, oh my god, they could die. Like, yeah, she's a retired nurse, and she's just like freaked out about that idea. But, you know, having the right jack and making sure it's there, I think I talked about it in one of my previous podcasts about having the right tools in your vehicle, the right jack in your vehicle, like jack lug nut wrench and the jack tools that be there. So this is kind of one of those times you're take a few minutes and go in your garage and make sure you have all the right tools. If you've lifted your vehicle, your stock jack most likely won't work anymore. It just doesn't have enough reach to kind of lift it up. So you might need to get a different bottle jack and figure out how to store that in your vehicle. So that's another thing that you should probably take a look at. Just take note of that, because you can call AAA if you have it, but if you don't, you know, then you're kind of still on your own. You can call a tow truck, but then you're 150, I don't know how much tow trucks cost anymore, but they're enough money. And if you just take 10 minutes now to go out your garage and take a peek at what you got going on, and then put a list together for yourself and take a trip to the store and buy a few things and plan it out, save yourself some money. If you have to call AAA, you're waiting an hour or two, and that's no fun when it's cold. So again, you know, this is just a PSA to figure that part out. I've been changing tires since I was a kid. I guess the biggest tire I ever changed was on if you don't know what a slurry splitter is, I'm a farm kid, and I worked for a company that they were renting out slurry spreaders. So to change a wheel and tire, must have weighed at least 500 pounds. This thing was huge. It was 5 feet tall, this wheel and tire combo. And I had to wrestle it on there and get it on there and torque it all down, hand wrenches and everything back then too. No extra, you know, battery-powered, you know, hammer drills to help me out. But I got it all on there and I got home. So that was probably the biggest wheel and tire I ever changed. But most of the time you're just going to be changing a wagon or a car tire. So it's not too hard to figure out to do. But I mean, my son and I, we're going to spend some time in a garage one of these days after the hunting season's done. And he's going to learn how to change a tire on his car. That way he has that kind of in his back pocket for future reference, where if he's ever on the side of the road, or maybe he can impress a girl or a buddy of his sometime by how he can change a tire. So there's my Eden Prairie tire change story, and kind of how I hopefully changed these kids' little trajectory a little bit, made their day better, because could have been way worse, I thought. So that's the Eden Prairie tire change story. The other big story or thing I want to get into is how to jump a battery. I've never, I guess I've been doing it for years, jumping a battery. So, but I'm going to take a little 2 second break, and I'll be back to tell you about that in a second. And I'm back to talk about how to jump a battery. But first thing I'm going to do is say, buyer beware. I want you to go Google this yourself on the details of it, because I can see a couple of different ways that I've been doing it wrong over the years, and I might change the way I do it. It has to do with the ground on the dead vehicle. It said, do not attach the battery. This Meineke one is telling me to attach it to some other part of the a metal point on the vehicle. So I'm going to read through this a bit more and double check myself and cross-reference it. But here's why I want to talk about how to properly start a battery. And maybe you should just Google it and take time to read it, and so you understand it more fully than the Mr. Crossthread Off-Road talking about it. But long ago, how they can be dangerous. First off, battery has a lot of energy into it. That's basically what it is. I grew up as a farmer. My dad obviously was a farmer, and I was a farm kid, I should say. I was never really a farmer professional myself. So we have a lot of different vehicles on a farm, a lot of different tractors and combines and swathers and all nine yards. And if you don't use something for a little while, the battery goes dead. And the batteries on these tractors are usually bigger diesels. They're pretty decently sized and potent batteries. And as a farmer, especially during harvest time, you're almost always in a hurry. And so if you walk up to a tractor that is not working, you're in a rush to kind of get that thing working and get going, especially if it's the one that's hooked up to the chopper. And if you have different people using the equipment, somebody leaves a light on or leave on the control box for the chopper, and that's what happened this time, I think, is somebody left on the control box for the chopper. What that control box does, it just moves the spout. It's just a electrical box that handles all the electrical motors that are on the implement you're using behind you. And so I remember this morning, I heard about after the fact, so I think I went to school, but my dad had somebody left the box on, which happens, the control box, and he went to go start the battery on a big John Deere tractor. We paint the picture a little bit more, but we would always partner up with a farmer next to us. We both owned a chopper together, and then they would just share the chopper and share the work. So they always had different tractors at the farm, which was fun for me because I was always running somebody else's tractor that I only ran during harvest. But also, different people forget to leave the lights on, type of thing. So the battery's dead in the big John Deere, and my dad has started. He went to put the battery cables on. I think the battery was one of those end of the life type of batteries. It wasn't the best battery in the world, and exploded in his face. There's acid in there and everything, and he lucked out that didn't hit him fully. It kind of hit him to the side. But I remember coming home and telling me about it, that battery exploded in his face, and they had to pull it out and go get a different one. So make sure the battery's in good shape first off, but somehow I don't know the details of it, and he's no longer with us to kind of tell me the details. Kind of wish I knew the details of it, but the battery was not good anymore, and decided to take it, go out with a flash that day. Let's put it that way. And so he lucked out, and he didn't have any goggles on or anything, but I think the hat kind of saved him. He had his hat dipped down a little bit, and that saved his face from, getting battery acid in his eyes. So first off, make sure your battery's in good shape. Then also, if you guys are listening to this when you're driving, when you get home, just Google how to properly attach a battery. And I'm doing it right now, and it's Meineke has a good one. I think it's the second one in here, how to do it. And how I always done it was, I just attach it the terminals to the ends, and didn't matter which one was on there first to me, but it always started back up. But now I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's definitely an order to doing things. So Google it, write it down for yourself, and then that way you're ready to do this. The reason I tell you this is too is because I This happened to me very recently. But first, I'm going to tell you about one that happened while I was on a hunting trip. I think I mentioned this before, where I was in a hunting trip and I had my, it was a 1994 Camper Special Ford F-150, which pretty much means it was really comfy seats, and I didn't know it until this day, but it came with two batteries. And I was driving through back from a hunting trip in Wyoming, and we were in the middle of Montana. And we could tell the something was going on because the battery was starting to drain because the radio shut off, the heater wasn't working anymore, the lights shut off. We were just following people from one town to the next real close because our batteries wasn't, we didn't want to run everything off the alternator. We got to one town, no batteries in that town, so we had to drive 8 miles or 20 miles to the next town. We got there, but on the way, this was great. This is the best part of the story. Is we're stuck at this one gas station, and why somebody ran in to see if they had batteries there, and they said they didn't. We had to go to the next town. I just grabbed the jumper cables and held them up because a big diesel pickup was driving up. I just held them up in the air, and I could see this guy. He swerved right towards me, popped his hood. He didn't get out of the vehicle. He just popped his hood, and I hooked up my battery to his battery, or one of my batteries to his battery. It fired it up, said thanks, closed his hood, and he took off. He didn't even get out of his vehicle. I mean, I don't even know who this guy was, but if you're listening to me right now, Mr. Montana with the big diesel, thanks for pulling right up. It was a pretty funny situation where the guy just kind of ran in and said, or pulled right up, and I just jumped my vehicle from it. So he was the first neighborly guy in Montana. Then the little side note of Montana people, there's a bumper sticker you can get that says "Welcome to Montana, now leave." I love that bumper sticker. Usually people in Montana, like, they don't want outsiders in. That's what the moral of the story is, but these people were pretty friendly. So we got to the second town, first gas station. They didn't have a battery, but they knew the next gas station over, the guy was working late on a Sunday, and they had batteries there. Some gal was filling with gas, and she goes, "I'll give you a ride." So I ran, got in her vehicle with her two kids, the van, and we went over to the next gas station, and a few blocks away, whatever it was, got the two batteries I needed, came back, and put them in there, started right up, and drove all the way home with no problem. So I didn't know I had two batteries until that day. It was my first pickup ever that I had in my adult life. I bought it. It was a great truck. Ran it for years and had a good time with it. But the two battery day was not fun for the pocketbook for a just kid starting off, newly married type of thing. Imagine buying one battery unexpected. How about two? So that was my hunting trip story and the battery situation. But recently, I do some online training, and I was doing my online training, but then I had to bolt from my online training thing and go to work to train some people somewhere else. And that earlier that day, I just had bought my kid the car that he's driving now. So they were supposed to deliver it that day, but they couldn't. And so my kid had to take my truck to football practice. And my wife had to go, I think she was getting her hair done that day. So it was just me and the Jeep. And so I go to start the Jeep and dead battery. So then I'm like, great, I got to get to work. I like to get there 20 minutes early so I can prepare a little bit because that's important to do. And I had no battery. And so I said, well, I said, "Mason, come out and see if we can pop start this thing." So he comes running out and he goes, "What do you need me to do?" I said, "Well, just push." And tried that once and then immediately said, "This is dangerous." So then, I had made friends with the neighbor guy a few times. We moved here a year and a half ago, so I knew Kyle. So I called Kyle up. I go, "Hey," he goes, like, "Hey, what do you need?" And I said, "Well, I need a jump. I have a dead battery." He goes, "Well, you're in a hurry?" I'm like, "Well, kind of, because I have to get to work. Meanwhile, my Jeep is in the middle of the street, and I should have turned the other way because it was A, it was closer to his house, and B, there's a hill there. I could have tried pop starting on the hill." So I turned the vehicle the wrong way, so I was a little perturbed about myself, about my situation. But he goes, "Well, I'm walking the dog right now. I'll be right there." And he comes running down the street like 10 seconds later. I'm like, "Oh crap, there he is. He's literally running down the street." And he comes pulling around with his, I think he has a Ford, the new Ford Explorer. I'm not sure what he has. But he pulled right up, and by the time I turned around with my jumper cables in my hand, he was ready to go with hoods up, and he was had them in his hand, and he had it ready to go. Popped off the Jeep, got it started right up with the jump, drove it to thanked him, obviously, and drove it to work, and then it started right back up. As soon as I was driving away, I figured out why the battery was dead, because I had turned on the interior light the day before when I worked there early Sunday morning to find all my gear I needed to go work again, and I turned the interior light on, and that's what ran the battery dead. So, just check that interior light every now and again is the moral of the story there. But learning how to attach a battery is an important skill, I think, to have. And so go ahead and Google how to attach it, so you can kind of read it for yourself, so you understand it. Because there's a certain order you should do it with the charging vehicle, the dead battery, and so on and so forth. So Google that. Do yourself a favor right now. Why you have a controlled environment versus when you're in a hurry and you want to get back on the road, or it's cold as heck out and you want to do it then. Do it now. It's just a simple thing to learn how to do, and it's just have in the back of your mind. Another point too is there's different size battery cables. There's some for 4 and 6 cylinders, or up to a certain liter size, a 4 liter, 4.5 liter, and then there's ones for big diesels. And have the right jumper cables in your vehicle. So if you have a 4 cylinder, you don't need the heavy duty jumper cables. But if you have a big diesel, you need to have the big mamma jammas. And there's thicker gauge battery cables. So I have battery cables on all three of the vehicles, and now that I have four, I guess I need to buy some for my kid. Now I have to add that to the list. Battery cables for Hunter. Shoot, that kid. It's gonna cost me money. So I literally just wrote that down. So I gotta get battery cables for him. So that's another thing too. And then thirdly, teach yourself how to do it, but then teach somebody else how to do it. I'm going to suggest that. So if I'm going to teach my kids how to do it with their vehicles, and then obviously I'm going to teach my wife how to do this too. Hopefully she never has to worry about that. But sometimes batteries just, they've picked the most inopportune moments to crash, and it's usually when it's really hot or really cold. I think on the coldest days of the year, when I'm driving for work, I can always say, oh, I'm gonna find at least 5 vehicles on the side of the road just sitting there. Same thing in the hottest days of the year. You're just gonna see 5 vehicles on the side of the road. If you have a long trip, there's just gonna be 5 vehicles sitting there, especially if it's bumper to bumper traffic and a hot day. You're gonna have a few of them that are overheating because the coolant decides that that's the day that it's gonna leave the vehicle. So, the other quick thing I have on here is recovery stuff to have in the vehicle, along with extra clothes and the battery cable. This time of year is, getting cold all of a sudden. We just had our first, wet snowstorm, I guess. Again, a second one, I guess. But having some recovery vehicle stuff in the vehicle. If you're an off-roader, you're probably going to have your straps. But having I think the best thing to have in your vehicle is either a tree strap and a soft shackle, and or both. That way, if you have a vehicle that doesn't have all the fancy hooks like our off-roaders have, if you have to pull out, like say a Chevy Impala, like my kids, you can wrap around something that's sturdy, and then you can pull it out. And some of those non-off-roady vehicles, they have a little eye hook that screws into the front. It's kind of cool, actually. I had to use it with my wife's Toyota RAV4 10 years ago. But they have a little eye hook that screws into the front, kind of like a. It's a hook, but that screws in. So learn how to do that on your vehicle if you got one of those guys, or your loved ones do. And then also those tree savers and those soft shackles, they can wrap around some parts you can get at underneath the vehicle to pull a vehicle out. Like a control arm or something sturdy at the frame would be a good thing to get a hold of. So you don't need to have another attachment point. So learn where those are at, and then have those things in your vehicle so you can be the hero pulling somebody out, or just getting your wife home or your kid home to get them up the hill. Another thing, I just bought a vehicle for my kid, so I bought an ice scraper, showed him how to use it, and I bought a plastic shovel, sits in the back seat. I didn't buy my metal shovel, figured plastic shovel would be fine, that way he can kind of dig himself out, then it's not banging around the vehicle all the time also. And so showed him how to use those things. And now I added to the list jumper cables. So, and it's a little 6 cylinder, so I'll buy the 6 cylinder jumper cables for them. So that's kind of my PSA for the day is in the end, just learn how to do this stuff for yourself so you can save yourself some time down the road, so you're not in a hurry and hurting yourself or somebody else. And then also just having the stuff in your vehicle. It doesn't take much to put it all together, and having a recovery vehicle, recovery points, or recovery gear, I should say, battery cables, and the knowledge on how to change a tire. I think that's important stuff to know and to pass on to somebody else. So and doing it in a warm environment. I mean, you know, it's not time of year to really suggest this because it's going to be cold for the next 2 weeks. But if you have a warm garage or you're already blowing snow outside, might as well get underneath the vehicle and read up how to do it and point it out to people. This is where the toe points. This is where the spare tire is. Here's what a lug nut is. I think one time we getting ready to do a trip and off-road trip, we found out one of my buddies didn't have all his lug nuts on his vehicle, so we robbed it off of one of his spare tires. I'm like, you gotta get lug nuts, make sure they're all there, and kind of torque those puppies down every now and again. So that's another point to kind of look at. But that's my thought process, and I've been wanting to do this podcast for a while. I've just been busy with life and what's going on, but. That was kind of a fun story I had, kind of helping those Eden Prairie kids out a little bit. And then also, my jumping my battery, it felt so stupid, leaving the interior light on. But hey, that happens. I bet you everybody who listens to this podcast, every off-roader has a story about that. It's, simply left the light on. Simply, it's not a real bad. I got worried because I thought maybe it's a huge battery drain. Oh gosh, the extra lights that I put on there, or the X, Y, and Z, what did I put on there? My ARB, whatchamacallit, did that do it on my last off-roading trip that I get sent wet that shouldn't got wet? And here I just left the interior light on, which was, I was thankful that all that was, because all I could do is drive the Jeep around a couple times and it charges the battery right up. And I was relieved I didn't have any problems. I just had to jump it once and drive it around, so it worked out just fine. So, well, there you go. Thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, and we'll see you soon. Hey, a little update. I went to Target with my wife. We had to do some Target shopping, and I found, I think it's called a Just In Case. It was like actually a jumper cable kit that also had a tow rope in it, and it had, what was a tow rope, blanket, and first aid kit all built into it. It was actually cheaper to go that way than actually buy just jumper cables. So I did that. It was pretty cool. So I got my kid his jumper cables, so I did that task. So again, just a suggestion. All these things today were just some thoughts and ideas I had. So take it or leave it, but the more you can prepare yourself for little things you can fix easy, the better. So give it a shot. Hey gang, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors & Motor Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota. Go online and check them out.